From WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
I think of breakfast potatoes as the part of brunch that is most beneficial if you are suffering from a hangover.
This is my friend L.V. Anderson, Slate's food and drink editor.
To me, brunch is very much tied to being this sort of cure, this antidote to hangovers. It's supposed to, like, make you feel as though things are okay when you've woken up hungover. I don't really drink that much. I mean, I realize that, like, I'm sounding like I have a drinking problem.
No. Although you did write something to me in one of, we were emailing back and forth about this. You wrote, when you are hungover and haven't had enough coffee yet, you don't have the energy to take bites out of a giant wedge of potato.
That's true.
That makes you sound like you get really drunk.
Well,
I mean, how drunk do you have to be, Laura, to not have the strength to bite through a larger wedge of potato?
It's not about the alcohol. It's about the coffee. If you haven't had enough coffee, and I'm someone who drinks a fair amount of coffee on a daily basis, like, it's very difficult to do things when you haven't had your morning coffee.
And like, so, bite a potato.
Like, bite through a large piece of potato. And let me clarify what I meant when I said that, which is that I am of the opinion that home fries should be no more than 1 inch in diameter. Preferably, I think, a little bit less than that.
Today on The Sporkful, home fries and hash browns. What's the difference? Is crisp the only quality worth considering? Or should breakfast potatoes be judged by other metrics? How big is the ideal home fry? Are potato pancakes and tater tots types of hash browns too? Laura and I will tackle these and other crucial issues. Plus, I'll announce the food I'm resolving to eat more of in 2015. Stay with us. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. And joining me today is my friend and colleague, L.V. Anderson. She's Slate's food and drink editor and the woman behind Slate's recipe series, You're Doing It Wrong, and their web video series, Do It Right. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back at the studio with you.
Now, right away, off the bat here, Laura, I feel like this episode is rife with controversy.
Well, breakfast potatoes is kind of a clunky phrase because it encompasses more than one kind of potato. There are lots of different ways of preparing, or I guess maybe two main ways of preparing potatoes for breakfast, and people have very different preferences about what they like there.
That's right. And that's why it's rife with controversy because I feel a little bit hesitant about lumping these together. You know, we're all about the detail here on The Sporkful.
Mm-hmm.
But let's try to define our terms so we know what we're talking about. Now, I think of it, you said two categories, it's hash browns and home fries. To me, hash browns are shredded, home fries are cubed.
That seems right. That seems like a very good basic definition. But then once you get into, for instance, okay, so hash browns are shredded, you know, latkes are also shredded. You have some hash browns that are sort of like little cakes of mushed up potato, almost like tater tots. Like, you know, you go to McDonald's and their hash browns are like this weird oblong rectangular oval type thing that is just like compressed. And then you have other hash browns that are sort of looser. So like, and then you have like tater tots. Like where do you draw the line between hash browns and these other shredded potato confections?
I feel like for hash browns, I want to say that they can't be fully fused together into a single structure.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be. Tater tots are a different thing. A McDonald's hash brown is not a proper
not a hash brown. Fair enough.
A potato latke has flour and is bound together. It has
egg in it, too.
Right,
yeah.
Right, and that's why it's also called a potato pancake.
Mm-hmm.
To me, potato pancake is a more apt term for that. Hash browns are just fried shredded potatoes. Now, maybe you add a few things, which we can get to.
But no binder, no flour, no egg.
That's right.
I'm curious if you have any thoughts on hash brown making technique, because you can just throw some shredded potatoes into a hot skillet with oil and they will sort of crisp up. But then how do you stir them so that you get something that is not fused together, but you do get crispy sorts of outsides? Because I feel like if you stir hash browns too much when you're making them, they don't really get very crispy.
That's a great point. I was thinking about that. Maybe then it's not that they can't be fused together. It's that there can't be a binding agent.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good.
If they fuse together naturally through the glorious process we call frying, then that's okay.
Okay.
You know, like, I don't know what the binding agent in McDonald's hash browns is, but I'm sure it's a few really long words.
Like, yeah.
And an ATE hyphen number 47 or something.
I'm sure you're right about that. I think that's true. I feel like most of the hash browns that I've seen are fused together just by the virtue of having been fried together. You mentioned before the two different categories, home fries and hash browns. I'm not a huge hash brown fan. If I have a choice between hash browns and home fries, I'll go with the home fries.
Really?
And that's because I don't just like the inside of hash browns just don't taste that good to me. You get some, it seems like they're always slightly undercooked, almost a little bit crunchy, the little shreds of potato. And like the outside is great because it's crispy and fried, but the inside is just like potato goop with some like sort of al dente bits of potato in there.
But I would counter by saying home fries are always going to have a soft potato interior.
Right, but it's going to be consistent. It's going to be all the same kind of perfect potato softness. Whereas I find that hash browns, there's this variation. So you have some parts of the shred of potato that are too soft, and then you have other parts that are too hard. And it just doesn't satisfy me. Whereas when you have a home fry, if you boil the potato in advance or if you just cook it through, it's going to have that perfect, soft, cooked potato quality all the way through.
I guess what you're saying is that the specific type of potato interior softness in a home fry is different from the interior softness of hash browns.
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
I think you're right that the interior in home fries is better than the interior in hash browns.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if crisp is really your top concern,
mm-hmm.
hash browns are going to get you more crisp.
Mm-hmm.
They have a higher surface area to volume ratio, more exterior that's exposed to the frying surface. And if they're just spread thinly enough, you won't get much of that interior.
I am of the opinion that home fries should be no more than 1 inch in diameter. Preferably, I think, a little bit less than that. Sometimes home fries are really, really large. I think that
one
home
inch,
fries
well,
should
hang on,
be...
though. We're talking about a cube.
A cube, okay.
So you're saying 1 inch on each...
On each side.
On each
you're right.
Side.
Diameter was not the correct
geometrically sound here, Laura.
So what is the correct mathematical geometric
you want
term?
You want your home fries to be 1 inch cubed.
That's true, yes. 1 inch cubed is the maximum. I would say preferably they should be less than that, but they should be not so big that you have to take multiple bites in order to eat a piece of it. You should be able to stab a piece, put it in your mouth, chew, not feel like your mouth is overloaded with potato. I think ideally they should be smaller because then you can stab a home fry, stab a little bit of your egg, maybe stab, I don't know, what else you have on your plate, maybe like a salad or something, put it all in your mouth. And when you get like a nice
that's not going to help your hangover.
No, it's not. But it is good for you.
Right.
So
forkability.
Forkability.
And the ratio you're going to get in a bite
mm-hmm.
when you're combining with other things, these are concerns.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's just like it's a very common mistake that home fries are too big.
Oh, really? See, I think more often they're too small. I mean, you say 1 inch cubed. That to me, I mean, that 1 inch cubed, those are big home fries.
Well, but you agree that that's, you know, you can put a 1 inch cubed in your mouth.
Well, yeah, sure. But to me, most home fries are usually like the size of playing dice.
Oh, no. I wish that most home fries were the size of playing. I mean, maybe I need to go to the restaurants that you're going to when you're getting these playing. To me, playing dice, that sounds perfect. That sounds like as long as they're crispy on the outside, that sounds like the perfect home fry.
Well, friends, at this point, we've only just touched the tip of the spud iceberg. The spudberg? Is that what you would call it? Well, I mean, there's just so much more to cover. Coming up, we'll debate what additions are appropriate for hash browns and home fries, in which Laura rails against peppers. And we respond to your comments. Should all the home fry cubes be the same size? One eater says yes, and another argues there's more to breakfast potatoes than crisp. Stick around. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Hope you're enjoying my conversation with Laura Anderson from Slate. If so, you might want to check out a video that Laura and I did recently in which I try to convince her that pi would be better if it were square. And this is the point that I make in my book. It all has to do with my theory about the best bite of a slice of pie. Picture a slice of pie sitting on a plate. I think the best bite is at what I would call the corner, where the vertical side crust meets that bottom crust, where they meet. That meeting point and the fillings right around there, that is the best bite. Or so I seek to prove in my bake-off with Laura. You can find that video at slate.com or at sporkful.com. Let's return now to my conversation with Laura, where we moved on to things that you might put inside home fries or hash browns, specifically peppers and onions.
I'm really anti-pepper.
Okay.
Bell pepper, you know, I think that is, it has no, it's soggy, it's wet, it just has no place in a mix of breakfast potatoes. Onions, I'm okay with. I guess that would be mainly with hash browns. It's hard to, I guess sometimes you get home fries with onions mixed in. But, you know, anytime you're adding a moist vegetable to fried potatoes, it's going to make them soggier. And so if you value crispness, it's a real trade-off.
I think that's right. And then I think the other thing to factor in with bell peppers is that they have a strong flavor, stronger than many people give them credit for.
And they kind of get bitter. They seem particularly bitter when you eat them next to potatoes for some reason.
Yeah, I think onions are a more natural complement.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. But you don't need onions.
No, you really don't. You really don't. So yeah, I'm generally against.
Now, at the Waffle House, you know, and other places like Waffle House, they have all these different kinds of options. You can get them. They have all these terms, you know, smothered and whatever. They have a whole long list of adjectives. It means you can get them with cheese, onions, mushrooms, meat, you know. To me, like, at its core, as we've said, the potato dish is meant to be crunchy and salty. So, like, if you want to turn the potato into a base for some other dish that's going to have meat and cheese and eggs and all these things on top of it, that could be good, but that's going to quickly cross the line from side dish or accompaniment to entree.
I agree. I'm thinking of...
I mean, it serves a different purpose.
It does. It does. I don't think it's bad. I mean, look, you can't really go wrong if you have shredded or otherwise crispy potatoes topped with melted cheese. Like, that is just a delicious miracle of nature. But I think you're right that it becomes more of a main dish. And it's delicious, but it's different from hash browns and it's different from home fries.
To me, I think most of the time you're better off just getting these ingredients separately on the plate and combining them on a per-bite basis.
Mm-hmm. You have more options that way.
More options, then it maintains the crisp.
Yeah.
You know, you can add, if you get like a cheese omelet, all right, and a side of potatoes, you can combine the cheese and the eggs and the potatoes in each bite, and the potatoes will always be crispy until they go into your mouth. If you
That's
get
true.
Potatoes covered with eggs and cheese, the potatoes won't be as crispy.
I think that some people like the parts of the potato that get soft and maybe a little bit soggy when they come in contact with cheese or other ingredients. I like that under certain circumstances.
Well, Laura, this is sort of like, you know, the poutine epistemology that I've identified here before, which is, you know, are the French fries, cheese curds, gravy supposed to meld together into this sort of cohesive mush, as many poutine lovers argue, or as I have argued, it would poutine be better if you got the gravy on the side, so that the fries stayed crispy, and then you fork the cheese curds and fries and dip into gravy on a per-bite basis, thus maintaining crisp.
Is that poutine or is that fries with a side of gravy?
Well, that's the question, and that's the question that I'm asking you with regard to breakfast potatoes, mm-hmm. is, you know, at what point are you no longer eating hash browns? At what point is this some sort of like a breakfast
Something
mountain?
Else. Breakfast mountain. But if you put cheese on top of hash browns, are they still hash browns or do they immediately become something else as soon as you put something on top of them? I would say they're still hash browns, but you might disagree.
I'll give you cheese.
Cheese is just so basic.
Right, right. I mean, cheese is like...
Everything should come with cheese as an option.
If you start saying that every time you add cheese to something, it becomes something else, we'll have nothing left but cheese.
Right.
Do you know that I had Peter Sagal of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on this podcast, and he said that the fact that melted cheese makes a food better is an indication that there is something not so good about that food. It's a backhanded compliment to the food.
I strongly disagree with that.
Go ahead. Take on Peter Sagal, Lara.
I think that cheese makes things better. That doesn't mean that those things are deficient in any way.
All right, we'll take that, Peter Sagal. I put a few of these questions out on Facebook. Eater Bill Smith writes, nice small dice on the fresh potatoes. And then he adds, on the potato cut, uniform size so you don't end up with super crispy chips and mushy white goo. All of it needs to end up a nice G, B, and D. Which I Googled. I was like, what's that? And I came up with green building and design. I was like, that's not what that is. So I wrote back to him, and he said it's short for golden brown and delicious.
Oh, I had not heard that either.
Well, neither had Google. So I think Bill's the one who's flying solo on that.
GB&D.
Yeah. But what do you think of Bill's uniform size postulation? Should all of the cubes be the same size?
Generally, yes. If there are some pieces that are smaller, as there will be because a potato is not a cube or a rectangle in itself, it has, you know, rounded edges. I think slightly smaller pieces are fine, and you get a super crispy piece every now and then. But most of the pieces should be the same size. I think that technique and the way that you cook them has more to do with whether they turn out crisp than the size of the chunks. Sometimes you are getting home fries that have been apparently like sautéed on some kind of skillet, but without very much oil, and they're just kind of like soft all over, and maybe they have like some spices on the outside, but like they're just like soft boiled potatoes, basically. And those are not real home fries, I think. Those do not deserve the name home fry.
Yes, they are neither home nor fried.
Right.
Well, talk to me about how they should be cooked.
Well, I think they should be deep fried.
Not fried in a skillet.
They could be fried. Okay, they could be shallow fried. There should definitely be a lot of oil because that is what you need in order to get them really crisp. And I think boiling, your parboiling the potatoes ahead of time is not necessarily a bad idea. You do definitely want them to be soft in the middle, and it's hard to get, especially if you're doing like a skillet frying, a shallow frying. It's hard to get them to be soft in the middle.
It
takes forever, yeah. So I think parboiling is probably a good idea.
Let's continue talking about texture, Lara. As I said, I put this question out on Facebook. A lot of folks just said crispy, crispy, crispy. And I mean, you're not going to get much of an argument from you and I, but not everyone was quite as rigid. Valerie Mae Wheats writes, crispy hash browns with sliced American cheese melted on top. You can argue that it makes them soggy, but the crispy edges and the gooey, cheesy center is delicious. So she doesn't mind adding something that's going to cut into that hash brown crisp a little. And Penelope McKibben says, fry in a round skillet with a combination of olive oil and garlic butter until nicely browned and crispy on both sides. None of this crispy top, gooey bottom nonsense. So she's making an important distinction
she's
there.
She's talking about hash browns.
Hash browns, but she's saying that they need to be flipped.
I would agree with that. And also, just traditionally, you have hash browns maybe served in a diner. You have shorter cooks, you know, people who are processing a lot of orders. So I think that probably the tradition of not flipping hash browns came from needing to churn out a lot of hash browns very quickly.
Yeah.
Time is really important with potatoes. It's important with a lot of things. It's important often when you're trying to get something crisp. But there, you can't rush breakfast potatoes.
Lara Anderson is Slate's food and drink editor. You may know her better as LV Anderson, which is her byline. She's the woman behind Slate's recipe series, You're Doing It Wrong, and their web video series, Do It Right. Check out all her work at slate.com. Well, friends, it's time now for an annual tradition here on The Sporkful. Each year, I pick a New Year's eating resolution, a food that I'm going to resolve to eat more of in the new year. Past selections include plantains. That one I never... quite really, I didn't do a great job with the plantains. Grilled onions, I did okay on that one. Didn't eat as many as I would have liked. Oh, there was a year that I resolved to eat more butter. That one, I think I succeeded. But before I get to my pick, I want to share the eating resolutions from other Sporkful staffers. Web writer Talia Ralph is resolving in 2015 to eat more mustard. Alight Trong, who also writes for our website, she says she's going to eat more noodles in 2015. And our producer, Ann Sani, she wants to eat more ugly vegetables, like bitter gourd, mountain, yam root. Anne says someone's going to show these culinary wallflowers some love. So that's what they'll be eating. As for me, my New Year's eating resolution in 2015 is MSG. Yes, that's right, monosodium glutamate. Okay, first of all, that whole headache thing has been debunked. Second of all, even though it sounds like a scary, nasty chemical, it turns out that monosodium glutamate exists naturally in many delicious plants. And the other thing that I've learned recently is that it's freaking delicious. I was in Chicago. I went out to eat with my friend Kevin Pang of the Chicago Tribune, and we went to this Polish place, and they had this sauce called Maggi, M-A-G-G-I. He said, you got to try it. And I fell in love with this Maggi sauce. You can order it online. You can get it at Asian or sometimes like German or Central European markets. It's like soy sauce, but with this crazy umami flavor. Umami is like the much debated and discussed fifth flavor. You know, the basic flavors are sweet, salty, sour, and bitter. And then some people say there's this other flavor that humans can experience called umami. And it's sort of like the everything. I can't give you a good description of it because by definition, it's really hard to describe. You just got to go drink yourself a bottle of Maggi. And when you do, you will know and you will understand that it is good. Then I was in an Asian market and I just bought a box of MSG. And I've been putting it in everything, in gravy, sauce, all kinds of stuff. And it just adds this depth of flavor that is so delicious. Like MSG is so good. Oh, I just can't wait to eat more of it. And I will all this year. What food do you resolve to eat more of in 2015? I want to hear from you. Head over to Sporkful.com and tell us. Next week on The Sporkful, the show will be Music to Your Mouth. One of my favorite bands, the Two Man Gentleman Band, will perform their songs Pork Chops and Fancy Beer in studio. We'll also talk about how to eat while on tour in a van. Plus, Zach Brooks from the podcast Food is the New Rock. We'll talk about the intersection of food and music. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani. Our web writers are Talia Ralph and Alight Trong. Special thanks to Chris Bannon. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.